good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
I am just doing exceedingly well.
Wonderful.
Yes. You know, it's a beautiful day today.
It is beautiful.
That has a profound effect on my well-being, I've decided. It's a glorious day, and I am just almost happier than a human being should really be.
That's wonderful. It is a beautiful day in California here.
It's exquisite.
If you want to talk with us today, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. You can also email us your questions, and you can reach us by email at openair@kzsu.org. And Sherry, people have been busy at their computers, sending us lots of emails.
I've been busy at mine. Have you been busy at yours?
Intermittently.
Yeah, well, you know, we just started an email class yesterday, I guess it was. So
yes.
It, for me, in my world, it's a busy computer time.
So uh-huh.
That's excellent.
Yes. This technology is wonderful, isn't it?
It's a grand and glorious thing. I think about that a lot. I think about what a short time ago so many of the things that we do in this practice, and of course there are lots of other people having the same experience, but how many of the things that we do regularly that support our awareness practice in a big way were just not available to us.
Yes.
A really, really short time ago.
Yes.
So it's very fun. I think that a lot. It's a great time to be alive. I suppose any time one is alive is a great time to be alive. But the things that we're able to do now are just very fun.
Yes, yes. And if people want to listen to archives of your previous show, they can go to your website, which is sherryhuber.com. And we have all the shows there, and people are welcome to go and check those out.
Now, there's a perfect example, isn't it? That not only can we do this radio show from pretty much anywhere and talk to people from all over the world, you know, if they're willing to get up in the middle of the night or whatever, wherever they are, they can email questions and comments and observations to us. And if somebody misses a show, they can go to archives and sit there and listen to the shows at their leisure. I mean, this is just as good as it gets.
Yes.
Now, the only thing that's going to be better is when we all sit here and we're all on video together.
Yes.
And we can all, you know, look at each other when we talk and mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. That would be very fun for me. But, you know, I'm just totally happy and satisfied with this.
Mm-hmm. I think that day is coming also.
Yeah, I think it's probably not that far away.
Yes, yes. Sherry, the phones are ringing here.
Let's answer them.
I'd like to welcome Lori from Mountain View. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Lori.
Hi there.
Oh, good to hear your voices.
Very good to hear your voice.
I'm calling because I'm looking at taking things personally.
Aha.
And I'm seeing that I do that all the time, and that a lot of the suffering is totally from that, not from all the catastrophic things that it looks like are happening outside, but that I'm taking them all personally.
That's a big turning point, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not like you haven't said this, but that I'm actually experiencing.
Yeah.
Which is a great shift.
Well, as you know, I must point out at moments like this, it doesn't matter what anybody ever says to us. It only matters the moment we get it.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because, I mean, we all know this stuff. It's who we are before we learn something different. So at the deepest center of our being, this information is who we are. And then we turn away from that, and we get all involved in this other stuff that's, it's been a hard sell, and we've bought it, and then we devoted ourselves to trying to make it work, And, of course, it doesn't. And then we begin to turn back to ourselves and back to that deep sense of knowing that and understanding that we have in our heart. And, boom, you know, things start making sense to us that we have been ignoring all of our adult lives.
And having the guidance, having it been put into words so that it's there when suddenly I sort of wake up for a moment.
Yes.
Oh, I'm taking it personally. That's
yeah.
what's going on.
That's what this is.
That's what this is.
Yeah, that's why it looks like this. That's why I feel like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge, isn't it?
It's huge. And I'm calling because I'm obviously still struggling with it, and it's showing up everywhere. Last week it was my mom, and this week it is my dad. My dad is not, we don't expect him to be around for more than a couple more weeks.
Mm.
And it's really good practice, and I'm really having some good time with him. But the best reassurance so far that has been for me is I don't have to fix it because there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And that's been helpful, but I'm just sort of checking in to see what other ideas you might have or suggestions you might have.
Yeah, well, and I just emailed that very thing to somebody yesterday who was talking about being with this young man who is an alcoholic and a drug addict and not that young, actually, anymore, and kind of unable to get himself out of the situation that he's in. And I said, isn't it grand to get it, that all we can really do for anybody is to love them unconditionally. We can't change them, we can't fix them, we can't save them, we can't anything, but we can be there and love them unconditionally and love ourselves unconditionally as we go through whatever that brings up for us. So, you know, here you are losing somebody who's been important in your life for as long as you've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can know that there's nothing wrong with it, and everybody who's born is going to die, and the best we can hope for is that it's a long and happy life getting there.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't change the sadness, the sense of loss, the everything that happens to us as we face this kind of event that we've never experienced before. You know, you've never lost your father.
Yeah.
And that's going to change everything about your life.
Mm-hmm. And it's challenging. I sat with him today, and he's, at least today, he's not able to speak, but his eyes are expressive. And I sat there and I thought, what should I say? What should I do? And I have no idea what to say or do, you know?
Right.
I just sat there with him, which was wonderful, but...
Well, you know, one of the things, I mean, you'll just have to find your own way in this, obviously, as, you know, it's like parenting.
Which I'm clueless about, so...
Yeah, you have no experience in it. By the time you get through it, you realize what you should have done,
mm-hmm.
but it's too late. And so, you know, even going through this with your father isn't going to prepare you for going through it with your mother.
Yeah.
You know, because it, you're different. He's different. She's different. The
yeah.
moment is different. Now is different. So you'll have to find your own way. And one of the things that I have found helpful for me, and that's not to say helpful for anybody that I was sitting with, but it's just to talk whenever it feels like the thing to do about what's going on with me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever told you about this, but years ago when I was assisting someone close to me in the process of dying, she had lung cancer, so crying was not a good thing to have happen for her.
Yeah.
Because when she would cry and she would get clogged up, then it became almost impossible to breathe, and, you know, it was terrifying and
yeah.
life-threatening and all of those kinds of things. So, you know, the tendency is to try to keep everything light, but she's dying. And so I walked into her room. She was bedridden at that point, and I started to cry, and then I stopped myself, and she got this kind of funny look on her face, and I said, "What?" And she said, "Nothing." And I said, "You like it when we cry, don't you?" And she got this kind of silly smile, and I said, "You like it, don't you? Well, of course you do. You know, what? You're dying, and we're unaffected by this? You know, it's just another blip in our day. You know, of course you, and so then I started crying because that was the real honest expression of what was going on with me. And you know, if I had stayed in my idea about how I should be to be the proper supportive team member assisting someone in that process, we'd have never had that conversation. I would never have had that awareness. There wouldn't have been that kind of freedom in our relationship. And so I just offer that to you. That you being you authentically is probably, you know, I think it's the greatest gift we can give one another when we're healthy. And certainly when one of us is dying, what are we saving it for?
And what sort of another question that comes up is he went into the hospital last week thinking he was doing okay, and he does not, it's not really been communicated to him that he's only got a few more weeks. Mm-hmm. And so today we met with some hospice people, and I told him that we had met with hospice people, but I don't quite know, you know, I don't know how much to, I don't know if I suggest that he's not going to be with us much longer, will that make it worse for him, or does he already know that somewhere?
Right,
or?
Well, and, you know, the thing is, you don't know that, of course.
That's right.
Yeah, nobody really knows that. It's kind of up to him and a lot of factors, how long he's going to be with you.
Yes.
And there are a lot of things that you can say that don't even need to touch on that subject. You know, you can talk about how you feel about him, what it's been like to have him as a dad. You can tell him all the wonderful things that he has done. This is something that I always encourage people to do when somebody has died, to just stay in conversation with that person, just going over all of the gifts this person has given. You can talk to him about, you know, what's going on with you in this process, and you know, all kinds of things that you would want to express to him, and that the odds are very good that he would want to hear, regardless of how long he's going to be around.
Thank you. I feel like, you know, my focus has been so narrow, and it's like, oh, these are what great ideas. Thank you.
There are lots of things that you know, they're the kinds of things that it would be wonderful if we just said to one another on a regular basis, but for whatever reason in our social conditioning, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be a great world if most of what we said to one another was about what we appreciate about one another and what it means to me to have you in my life and what you've brought and what you've given me and, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And we usually don't. And then, of course, in so many cases, people wait until it's too late. And then we're filled with remorse and regret and guilt and sadness that we never can. So might as well take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, Dad, there are just a few things I'd like to tell you.
Yeah.
Reminisce.
Yeah.
You know, you can leave out the parts that didn't work.
Yeah, he knows those parts.
Yeah, he knows about that.
Yeah.
Tell him the parts that did work.
Oh, Sherry, thank you so much.
No, you're welcome.
I really appreciate
it. And that, you know, that taking it personally thing, as you know, it's just there to try to ruin your life. And so the least amount of energy you can give that, the better off everybody's going to be.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that seems to be more of a bigger deal when things, other things, less of a big deal in this particular situation and more of a big deal in every other situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in my experience, and it sounds like yours, egocentric karmic conditioning is always looking for the most effective way to rain on your parade. So in this situation, it would be better to hit you with this. In that situation, you really respond with more suffering if we come at you from this direction. And it's just, it's sobering and I think enlightening to see how much conditioning attempts to make you miserable in a situation that is already miserable.
Yes.
You're already sad. It's already hard. And to see that those voices, that process, would use this as an opportunity to make you suffer is just really, it makes it very clear what's what and how it works.
I noticed that sitting recently, earlier today, that it's, you know, there's all these stories about what's going to happen and how it's going to be, and I thought, you know, it's hard enough right here. Let's not go there. We're not there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really is.
So that's another little piece of it, since it sounds like you look at these things pretty deeply. Remember that there are lots of folks there with you, you know, lots of little people who are struggling with all kinds of issues, and that you have the opportunity to create that place of compassionate acceptance and kindness that you would want to create for your dad, for all those folks inside of you who are suffering over this.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Sherry.
You're most welcome.
It's nice to have you back in the country.
Thank you. You keep in touch, okay?
Thanks, I will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. We'd love to hear from you today. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can call us at 650-723-9010. Sherry, it occurred to me as you were talking to Laura about the three keys that you often talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you wanted to touch on those a little bit.
Let's see now. Those are pay attention to everything.
Yes.
Which is no small trick.
Yes.
Because we are so conditioned to pay attention to particular things and to give no attention whatsoever to other things.
Mm-hmm.
So pay attention to everything. Often I think people hear that and they interpret that as, you know, kind of scrunch up more muscles and pay attention harder to the things you're already paying attention to.
Yes.
But it says pay attention to everything.
Yes.
Yeah, don't believe any of it.
Yes.
And the importance to me of that is that a belief is something that we cling to because it's not current. We make something a belief because we're no longer experiencing it as present.
Uh-huh.
If I'm experiencing something in the moment, I don't need to believe it. Believing it is a step removed from experiencing it.
Uh-huh.
So it's much more helpful to be present with what is than dragging around beliefs about something. A lot of times I think people believe stuff instead of experiencing it.
Uh-huh.
So it would be perfectly possible to experience it. If we use something very common, a common idea that people have, I believe in God. Well, why would I want to do that? Why not just experience God? If you experience God, then you haven't experienced God. Why would you want to leave that experience to believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
So don't believe any of it. Belief just takes us out of the moment, takes us up into our head, puts us in relationship to something other than being with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just unnecessary. And don't take any of it personally.
Yes.
Yeah, we're so conditioned from childhood that when things go well, it's a sign that we're loved and we're good and we're being rewarded. And when things don't go the way we want them to go, we must have done something wrong, we're bad, and we're being punished. And And if we look around, listening to, talking with Lori, everywhere I go, I feel like those old stories of the Buddha. You know, everywhere I go, people are talking to me about hard places in their lives. And the range of that is huge. But they're hard places. People are sick. People are dying. People are losing things that they have loved and wanted. And life is a hard, painful proposition if we have ideas about how it should be, and if we want it to be some way other than the way it is. Mm-hmm. And so people are struggling with this kind of thing all over the world, all the time. And it is not personal. You know, things don't happen to us that we don't want to have happen because we're being punished because we've been bad.
Mm-hmm.
People die because people die.
Mm-hmm.
People get sick because people get sick. People get hurt because people get hurt. People lose things because people lose things. That's how life is. It's not a personal statement about who and how we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, mm-hmm. very hard to remember that when we're feeling small and vulnerable, and that old childhood conditioning is there that says, "And you've done something, you deserve this."
Mm-hmm.
And just to remind ourselves that that's not what it's about.
Yes.
When we approach life in that way, it really does open us to compassion for all of us,
mm-hmm.
Who are in that experience. And it seems to me like the thing that we're all desperate for is to feel loved, to be appreciated, to feel understood, to have compassion extended to us, to have somebody say, you know, as I was encouraging Lori to do with her dad, you know, you've done a great job. You've been a great human being. What does that mean? You know, you've met all my standards? No. It means I can see that you've always done the best that you could do.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're all desperate for that information to come back to us.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, from my perspective and your perspective, the best way to have that happen is to give that information to ourselves and
yes.
really mean it, to get it, that we're doing the best that we can do and good human beings trying really, really hard.
Yes.
And then to offer that to one another.
Yes.
Those little keys can be helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Definitely. Sherry, there are lots of blinking lights here.
We love those, don't we?
We love those. I'd like to welcome Elizabeth from Marin. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Oh, gosh.
Hi.
Hi.
Here we are.
I'm sort of amazed. I have, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for all your work, Sherry.
My pleasure.
It means a lot to me. I wanted to ask you, what is karma? And then I have a friend whose son committed suicide on the 1st of January. Her father died a week and a half later.
Mm.
And now her mother has had a massive stroke and is lying staring at the ceiling.
Mm.
Even her two pet rabbits died. And I just think, what is that?
Yeah, what is that? Yeah. And there we are, right?
And here we are.
Yeah, what is that? You know, the thing about it is, what we really suffer over, I think, is all the misinformation that we have received. If we came into this world and what we got was, don't miss a thing, because it could all be over in a moment. You know, we don't know how long we have, so we want to celebrate every second that we're alive. Love one another as much as you possibly can, because you may never see one another again. Anything can happen, so you really want to enjoy this as much as you can with every breath that you have. what would life look like to us? But instead, we get information that says, if you're good, if you're the right person, if you get it figured out, you'll get what you want. If you don't get what you want, it's because you didn't get it right. If people don't live a long time, if life isn't easy, if we're not always happy, it's a big mistake and it's your fault. And so, here we go, into life. And then when those kinds of things happen, which we would probably all agree are abnormally hard,
mm-hmm.
Now in the sense that most people do not have that kind of life circumstance. And when we start asking around, oh my God, the stories that people can tell. It's not as unusual as we would imagine.
I know. That's why I love the 12-step programs, because you go to a room and you hear such incredible stories. You think, my problems are nothing.
Right.
Compared
to
that.
What I would wish people would get in that room is, my problems are everyone's problems.
Yeah.
You know, we all are struggling with big life issues. And they're not a mistake. You know, it's not, we don't have them because we're doing something wrong. This is the way life is. That's one of the most amazing parts of technology to me, is that you can, you know, this evening, when after we finish, you can go turn on your television set, if you have one, and you can turn on the news, and you can realize that all over the world today, extraordinary things happened to huge numbers of people. And that's just what we get on the news.
Yeah.
So this is what life is. This is what life is like. And if we know that, it doesn't need to make us morbid or depressed or afraid. It doesn't, you know, a lot of people would say, well, to take all of that in, you know, you'd have to kill yourself. You couldn't take it all in. But we do take it all in. It's the way that we're taking it in that's causing us to suffer.
She called me one day recently and left a message, and I was afraid to call her back. I mean, she's one of my best friends. And, of course, as soon as I did call her back, everything was fine. She was just a regular human being, you know. She was my friend. There was lots of love there. But I went through, you know, 20 minutes of just shaking in my boots, thinking, I can't deal with this, you know.
Mm-hmm. And did you spend a little time talking with the part of you who feels that she can't deal with it?
No, I didn't.
But that would be, to me, that would be
nice. That would have been a gift to me, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Because there's somebody there who I would project feels unequal to the task, feels inadequate, is really frightened by this. And so to help that person through those emotional reactions really opens you up to be there with a great deal more compassion for you and for your friend and for all the rest of us.
Okay, good. And, you know, the funny part is that I came up to the monastery for the There's Nothing Wrong With You workshop, which just really changed my life.
Uh-huh.
And so
It is a good retreat, isn't it?
Oh, it's just incredible. It's incredible. There's no way
life
to
changing.
Describe it. So I'm saying to my friend, you are adequate for your own life. But in that moment of waiting to call her, I didn't feel adequate to, you know, being help to her.
Yeah, and you're afraid she's not adequate.
Oh, am I?
Well, that person who was afraid would be afraid for herself and for her friend. You know, what if it's too big? What if it's too hard? What if it's too painful? What if in fact you're not equal to it?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're revising the parenting book right now, and so I was reading it over, and I went back to that same, that classic airplane thing. You know, if you're traveling with a child or someone who needs assistance, put on your oxygen mask before assisting them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, to me, is the great gift of this, is that you see the parts of you that you're projecting onto your friend. You get
okay.
to take care of them first, and then you can be there for your friend.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel like I can be a bigger help.
Yeah, and
because
the other
one of my big questions is, how can I help?
Yeah, and the other piece of that that I would encourage you toward is
mm-hmm.
honesty. You know,
okay.
that if I were your friend, the last thing I want is to feel like people are lying to me. They're walking around on eggs because I'm such a weird case. I would want my friends to be there with me in a place of real honesty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to be able to say, this just terrifies me. You know, because I'm projecting onto you, and you know, I don't know if I were in these circumstances. I'm not sure that I would be able to make it. And
mm-hmm.
so that's, you know, and let your friend be there for you as well.
Oh, that's good. All right.
Yeah. Be in it together.
Okay.
Hold hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's down in L.A., and I'm up here in the Bay Area. It makes it really
hard. You can
hold
hands energetically.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, yeah, hearts don't know time and space as distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Oh, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Let us know, okay?
Oh,
I will. Keep us informed. Keep us posted.
I will. Oh, thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Your work is just so great.
Thank you. Take good care.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Stay tuned to KZSU for the news at 6 p.m. I'm sure we'll have some election results there. That's from 6 to 6:15 p.m. And then from 6:15 to 8 o'clock, we have DJ Deca with her great world music at the Cafe Bohemian. And then at 8 p.m. until 10 p.m., we have Mike with the Baptism of Solitude. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, we're still blinking lights here.
Good. I want to say something before you answer that next call.
Yes.
I want to say how much I enjoy those public service announcements. You know?
Yes. Yes.
They're really good.
Yes.
I'm glad we have them.
I'm glad, too.
Yeah.
And we have a crack selection team out there picking them out for every break here.
Good. I mean, that's just, that was, those were great. I mean, those were, I learned something.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, especially the one about drowsy while sleeping.
Ooh.
I know that one.
Well, and the other one about, you know, living vicariously. Are you sitting in front of a screen having experiences secondhand that you could have firsthand?
Yes.
And so that just a little commercial to live your life. Don't just watch somebody else's.
Yes.
Yeah, and get enough sleep.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Sherry, who do we have next?
I'd like to welcome Barb from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Or
Hello
evening,
there.
Pittsburgh. Good evening.
Yes. I was going to say, I enjoy those public announcements, too. I was thinking that one, falling asleep, it'd be good to have that for falling asleep in the daytime. You know, if you have some kind of a knowing just a few seconds and you're off into conditioning. Yeah, that'd be great.
Right. One on going unconscious in daily life.
Yeah. Well, I'm putting myself, I've called before, and I was thinking, every time I would think of calling or at group or anything like that when I've been on retreat, I always avoid just coming in and having nothing planned, that I've always got something planned out to share. And so I thought I would just call and ask a question, not knowing what the question would be. And oh my goodness, that really put the whole body on alarm. And
get that adrenaline going.
Yeah, and it really was interesting because the sensations and everything really started to be labeled as fear, because that's what I tend to label everything as. And as I would look at them, I thought, well, it could be excitement, because I am excited to call in. But the fear part of it, when it would flip back to that label, would be almost enough to stop it from happening. And I almost didn't call in, but I just felt like I had to do that.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's the sensations, what you're pointing at, the sensations are the same in your body. And if it's excitement, then it's, yes, you're getting a, yes, this is the direction, this is what I should be doing. As soon as that label of fear comes in, if I'm feeling this way and I get a label of fear, that means I should stop what I'm doing. And it's just such an important place to see through, isn't it?
Yeah, and it seems, even the sensations seem a little more intense if I'm thinking that's fear. It becomes almost too intolerable, or you can start to hear excuses as to why you shouldn't do it.
Because if our conditioning is such that if I'm feeling this way, it means I need to stop. And after we watch it for a while, we realize that label is simply put on those sensations to get us to stop.
Yes.
There's no reality to it. There's no validity to it. And then people will say, well, but fear is what keeps us from getting into trouble, from making a mistake, from, my favorite one that people throw at me, from walking out in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't. What we call fear, that kind of label on those physical sensations, it doesn't have anything to do with anything that's going on in life.
It's been interesting to be in the midst of that, of all those sensations, and pull in and out of being able to feel it and know that, no, I can do this, and watch it disappear and come back, and it's amazingly strong.
Watch how it's a thought. Right?
Yes,
there's that thought, oh my God, this is fear, and then poof, a big old jolt of adrenaline goes through, and the conclusion, I need to stop this because I don't want to feel like this. And if I stop doing whatever it is, then these feelings will go away. And unfortunately, that is true. And what we're conditioning ourselves to do is to be afraid and to be stopped. So the other side of it is just as true. If I'm feeling these feelings, and there's that label, and I keep going ahead, and I prove to myself over and over and over and over that label and those sensations do not mean stop, then pretty soon I feel those sensations, I see the label, I know that it's not valid, it's not true, I keep going, the sensations begin to dissipate. Okay? And so now I realize, those sensations don't mean anything. That's just an old habit. That's a karmic reaction.
Yeah.
I do whatever I want to do. Now I'm free.
And it's interesting that whatever the implied what will happen that would be so fearful is not ever there. It's
exactly.
But yet those sensations will still ride along with that.
Exactly. They're riding along with the story. They're riding along with the label.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we all know that. How many things have we been afraid of in our life? How many of those things have happened? People who are anxious or fearful might have that combination of sensations, a dozen, two dozen, 100 times a day? How many days have we had where something happened that would justify, if that's what I mean, or warrant those feelings?
Yes. And for me, it's how many times I haven't really had the willingness to just go through it.
Oh, we're conditioned to be terrified to go through it.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what happens. you feel that, you get the label of fear, you decide you're going to do it anyway. The next thing you know, it's gone up to terror.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're going to go, now you're just going to blithely walk through terror?
Yeah.
Most people aren't. Most people say, okay, all right, fine, I won't do it. Now, who are you talking to? You know, who are you bargaining with? Who are we making this deal with? That, okay, I'll be controlled by this so that I don't have to feel it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was thinking, too, I don't have any fear to talk to you. I would love to talk to you, and I love this show, and, you know, the only thing that would happen is that it almost relates into the online class with asking a question, asking a good question, the question, whatever, right question.
Yeah. So what it comes down to for most of us is, well, I might look foolish.
Yeah.
Right? So if I don't, so I'm gonna call
right
into the radio show, and I'm not going to have the right thing to say, or I'm going to try to say something and it's not going to be clear, or I won't be understood, or people will think that that's a stupid thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, I'll let that control my life then. Rather than, wouldn't it be easier just to get over, so what if I say something stupid? I mean, I've made a career out of that. So people think I'm stupid. So people think that that was a ridiculous thing to say. So people don't agree with me. So people, whatever. Okay, so what? So that doesn't matter. So I choose to have my life, regardless of what people think. Boom, you're free.
Yeah. I know in the midst of that, that was it. I felt like, you know, just to be free of this. But
Yeah, just to do a little workshop here on the radio where we go through this process, get to the other side, and find a degree of freedom out of that. Yes.
And you know, there's so many times that I've actually done that to where I find if I don't worry about what I'm going to do or say, and worry about it right, it comes out much better than if I had done
once
the usual
again,
path.
Once again, don't we love little children? Don't we love little animals? Don't we love all of the things that are innocent of that kind of self-consciousness, who just go around not thinking ahead, not planning, not worrying, just spontaneously here, present in the moment, responding to the life force that animates them. And they're beautiful and charming and dear and sweet, and we love them.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we want to be exactly the opposite of that. Yeah. Good.
Yes.
So, yet another success.
Yeah.
in the pursuit of conscious, compassionate awareness.
Well, it was funny because today, as I was thinking of calling in, I could watch the whole thing, and I thought, I'm going to stick with this as best I can to do it and make sure I do it, and so I made it through, so.
Yeah, and it's been great.
Yeah.
It's been a great, for me anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
It launches a great conversation. We get to look at a lot of stuff, and you get to feel all those sensations, and the others of us who could identify with that, you know, who look at the places where we experience that in our lives, gives us a little courage to confront that, face that, go through it.
And call in, yeah.
And call in, which we would like everybody to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Barb.
Well, thank you. Take care, guys.
Bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Barb. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Sherry, that was the best encouragement I've ever heard to call in.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, have a little mini workshop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Feel all those sensations and nothing particular to talk about. And just
you know what's funny about that, funny, whatever, is that it really, I mean, what we're doing is anonymous.
Yes.
Like with this email class that we're starting, the number of people who are concerned that I'm not doing this right and what if this isn't what you want? And, you know, I don't know who you are. So you're just, I mean, it's just words typed on a computer screen.
Uh-huh.
So let's risk it. Let's go for it. and yet, that it's so deep in us You know, it's I say I care how you feel about me, but in this kind of anonymous radio show, call-in show, or anonymous email class, I really get a chance to see that it's what happens inside of me. You know, I'm projecting that onto you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't even know who I am, and I'm paralyzed by fear of what you're going to think of what I say or do. I mean, obviously, it's my conditioning that I am playing to. You know, that I'm terrified that I'm going to get some kind of response that my conditioning is going to use to turn me into ground meat. So just to me, all of this work, if we just become aware of that, that I'm never afraid of other people. I'm afraid of my conditioning. Now, I'm not afraid of making a mistake because of what somebody else is going to say. I'm afraid of making a mistake because of what my conditioning is going to do to me.
Yes.
So that's the place where we're working. That's the battle we're in. It's not with the rest of the world.
Yes.
With my conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, I bet most people would agree, other people are never as hard on us as the voices in our heads.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, people don't come up with great regularity and say, that was a really stupid thing to say, or, you know, why did you do that? You are such an idiot, or I can't believe you did that again, or what's next? You know, people tend not to say that to one another.
Yes. Yes. And I had that impression when you were talking to Elizabeth, that reminder to come back to ourselves and see what's going on inside here.
Yeah.
And how am I projecting that out?
Yeah. Because when we can find peace inside of ourselves, that's what we're really going for. And our conditioning would say, but you have to have the right relationship and the right job and the right amount of money in the bank, and you have to this, and it's all conditional. Then once you meet all of these conditions, then you'll have the peace inside that you want, so that then you can relax and feel fulfilled and be happy and blah, 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 blah. No, it's just what Barb was doing. You know, you confront, you face down those sensations, those voices, those meanings, those labels. You face those emotional reactions and let them smooth out and dissipate, and then the peace that we're seeking is there. Then it's available to us. We don't have to do anything externally. You know, we don't have to be anyone or accomplish anyone. We don't have to know what our purpose is or what we're here for or the meaning of our lives, or, you know, none of that is relevant. It's all finding our way through those conditioned karmic reactions inside and finding peace within ourselves, making peace with those, not reaching a truce with them, because they'll never come to the table. They'll never sign the treaty. It's reaching a place inside of ourselves where they have no more power to affect us. Then we have the peace we want. Then we're free to do, be, have, go, whatever.
Yes.
Whatever else we would like to do in life is available to us.
Yes. It's exciting.
It really is. It's thrilling.
Sherry, we're coming close to the end of our hour here.
That's not possible.
Was
this hour 60 minutes?
Yeah, and the other thing I'm experiencing is a little bit of urgency around the pile of email questions I have here in front of me.
Oh, my goodness. So at some point, we're just going to have to do an email show, huh?
That's a possibility.
Yeah. Or those people who wrote the emails will have to call in.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be good, too.
That's one option also.
Yeah. Are you hinting that you would like to do one of those now?
I have a short one here that I would love to read.
All right. We'll check that off our list.
Let's check this one off. Dear Sherry, I'm a big fan of your work. I was hoping you could help me with a problem. The pattern goes like this. Once or twice a year, I start to notice physical symptoms such as lingering pain in my stomach, trouble swallowing, or a lump under my skin. Immediately, my anxiety level goes out of control. I am sure I'm going to die. this seems to make the symptoms seem worse. Mm-hmm. I become panicked and usually rush off to my doctor, who runs tests, which turn out to be negative. The symptom vanishes until the next episode. Please help me. This makes me feel like I'm going crazy.
Yeah. Well,
from a listener in Wichita, Kansas.
Boy, do I know that one. Mm-hmm. And I bet an awful lot of us know that one.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of have that content. I know that content to some degree. But more than that, in addition to that, I just watch different aspects of the personality come up and have their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like being a female in our culture, I will go in the course of a day sometimes from being quite thin to quite fat. In the course of a day.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know that all that has happened is that a different aspect of the personality is there.
Uh-huh.
I will go from being wealthy beyond all telling to being on the edge of financial ruin
mm-hmm.
from one day to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing about my finances has changed.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is looking in the mirror. Right? We've talked about this.
Uh-huh.
Looking in the mirror and thinking, you know, you look pretty good for an old dolly. And then the next time, going through a stage where I look horrible. I can't, you know, and I'll say to my friends, what's wrong? I mean, and of course they, as friends do, just kind of look tolerant and say, I'm sorry, I can't see it. You know, you look pretty much the same to me.
Yes.
Do you have this kind of thing go on?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I usually won't admit it, but absolutely.
Oh, of course we don't want to admit it. That's why we have this anonymous radio show.
Yes.
Because nobody knows who we are, Michael, and we can admit these kinds of things.
That's right. That's why I use a pseudonym of Michael.
Of Michael, exactly. And John, they'll never know what your real name is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so, of course, now I say of course because this is my projection, it's much more painful when it's something like a lump or a, you know, some sort of condition that mm-hmm. means I'm probably terminally ill.
Yes.
And I really appreciated what the writer said about, and I go to my doctor and I get the tests done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that is a great kindness to the part who is so afraid.
Yes.
Now, over time, as we work with those aspects of the personality, as we recognize them as that, and the significant part of this for me is when we are identified with a personality, we are looking out through that person's eyes. It's not like it's an alternate view of life.
Yes.
When we're identified, we are looking out through that person's eyes. So, I found this lump. I'm going to die. And, of course, what we do in awareness practice is pay attention long enough, as this person obviously is,
mm-hmm.
to begin to recognize that's a particular personality. I have a sub-personality who looks for physical signs of impending death
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, horrible disease or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can begin to work with that personality. I can step back from it. I can disidentify. I can have conversations. We can work together. I can reassure, console, encourage, support. We go to the doctor. We get the results. You know, eventually, just as I would do with a child, with a friend, taking all of the steps, moving toward a place where the panic is not so great, because in reality, one day, there is going to be a lump, a condition, a something, or a semi, or a whatever, and I am going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So these can be tremendously helpful, supportive steps in getting to the place of making peace with illness, making peace with death,
mm-hmm.
Facing this eventuality,
mm-hmm.
so that my life now is more peaceful, And when that time comes, I can face that with the same degree and level of peace.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like really important practice to me.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
In the same way that, you know, we practice with, no, I'm probably actually not that much fatter than I was an hour ago, and probably I am not any closer to financial ruin today than I was yesterday. You know, it's not making fun of people. It's not minimizing their experience. It's disidentifying and embracing that experience in compassion so that we're not suffering from it, and we have compassion and sympathy for the person who is having that experience, and we're willing and ready to be there as a help and a support for them as they make peace with and let go whatever that that particular piece of suffering is.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a wonderful show today.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, let's do it next week.
Let's do it next week.
All right.
I'd like to thank
you. I'll see you then.
I'll see you then. I'd like to thank all of our listeners today. I'd like to thank our crack team of Jay and Michael, our support
back
there.
Back to our solid team, huh?
Yes.
We had great support while they were gone.
Yes.
And it's great to have them back.
Yes. Yes. If people have any email questions, which I promise we will get to,
send them into the void.
Yes. openair@kzsu.org. Also, archives of all the shows are at Sherry's website, sherryhuber.com, spelled CHERIHUBER.com. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Goodbye.
Good night.